enough to tempt your palate, and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Executive Chef Fred Genovese and his guests will cook and saute. They share their food and they share their recipes. Kevin Jenkins, he's a fat man jumping in on the pots and pans. So don't touch that dial if you please. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? Show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Oh, my friends, it's that time of the week, the time of the week you're anxiously awaiting. It's the time when you grab the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers, the boyfriends, the girlfriends. I won't use that joke anymore, or all together. Gather them around the old tube radio as it's time for another adventure down the road to culinary excellence, true theater of the mind radio. It is time for Chef and a Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs. We are listened to by thousands, streamed around the world, on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. This week, our mobile kitchens finds us at Laurel Park. Where, you may ask?
Where?
Laurel Park, in Gainesville, Georgia, of all places, as the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour begins. We are here. It is windy. It is threatening all kinds of interesting weather, but one thing is for sure. Myron Mixon is here, and a lot of the top professional barbecuers are here, as this is a sanctioned KCBS state championship, and we are just thrilled to be here as Team BBQ has just turned in their ribs, and oh my God, are they awesome. Now, my friend, Chef and a Fat Man of Blue Collar Chefs is brought to you by the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking vessel. And by Culinary Prep, the newest innovation for marinating and protecting the foods you eat and the loved ones around you. And by DiscoverIreland.com and Tourism Ireland. Why not have the trip of a lifetime? Go to DiscoverIreland.com and let the journey begin. Also by the always fashionable and our home always when we're in New Orleans, the Monteleone Hotel, the crown jewel of the French Quarter. And on a more serious note, why not take a few dollars and help support the Georgia USO? Our troops will appreciate it, and you will too. Go to our website and click on the USO logo. Go and find out how you can make our troops feel a little more at home. Joining me around the old mobile kitchens, as he does practically each and every week, he has really been on a roll lately, the Goomba of goodies, a gargantuan of delicacies, Executive Chef Fred Genovese.
Thanks, Kevin. Man, this, you know what? You're worried about the bad weather. So what? Look what we started out with today.
Yes.
Chicken and ribs. First two turn-ins are done.
Oh.
You know, it was worth the drive up here just for that. There's nothing better, hands down. And we've seen them get fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh place.
Reserve.
Reserve, grand reserve. But, you know, if anybody's got better product out there, I don't know where it's coming from. I really don't. Because
well,
Team Barbecue.
Myron Mixon might argue with you. But then again, you know, he's on Grillmasters, and so He's probably
the celebrity thing going on.
Yes, he does. But anyway, it's great to be here. I mean,
it's phenomenal.
The first of many that we will join Team BBQ is we will follow him along the trail this year, whether we do a show from a barbecue site or whether we just keep you updated on what's going on. Team BBQ is really, really one of the top 50 teams in the country on the professional circuit. And that says a lot, man.
Let me tell you, because it's serious stuff. And today was a very good indication of the seriousness, because it's been about 5 or 6 months since we've been to one of these things, because when Bobby shut the season down. But let me tell you, the intensity. You think the New Orleans Saints winning the Super Bowl is spectacular? Come to one of these and you will see spectacular in the sense of culinary and intense, an intensity that is just unparalleled.
Well, you know, you come on a Friday night, everybody's kind of, you know, all family.
Yeah.
You know, all the teams know each other for the most part. They all compete against each other. They all stand around, enjoy a few libations, kid, eat, drink, have a good time. But let me tell you something. When the clock strikes midnight and they start firing it up and getting ready to get the butts on, let me tell you, all the fun and frivolity stops. Now it is all about the seriousness of barbecue, because these folks spend a lot of their money, to be out here on this circuit. The circuit doesn't pay huge amounts of money, so you got to win. You got to consistently win to make it worth your while. And these people really, really are amazing. They're fun to be around. The food is absolutely exceptional. When you eat competition barbecue, you will never be able to go back to regular barbecue again. It's really wrong what they do to barbecue, isn't it?
You know, I cooked some ribs the other day for about 7 hours on the egg and had some left over, so I took it to my boss. He's like, oh my God, these are spectacular. I go, I appreciate it, but in all honesty, you need to come to one of these because it's like, and I'm not digging on anybody, it's like not good food.
Well, you know what? It's like comparing McDonald's to a Chef Red burger. It just ain't the same.
I appreciate that. Or, you know, that's kind of comparing, like, you know, let's say clam chowder to a nice New Orleans gumbo. There's no comparison by John Besh.
Well, one thing is for certain, Chef Red, when you come down to one of these things, and don't, and I've had a number of emails about this. Well, we got down there and there was no barbecue. Understand this. No, you don't get to come down to one of these things and go from site to site and try their barbecue.
Correct.
Doesn't work that way. You can't buy in. But what they do is, you know, they have food vendors up and they have some good queue down here. But if you happen to know somebody who happens to be associated with the team, that's when you get to try it.
That's when you get the innie.
Yeah, that's where you suck up. And, you know, there's only one other person that can get you all the great stuff in the world, and that's the associate publisher of Y'all Magazine. You know, he's got the, I understand, he's got the inside everything. You know, if it's happening in the South, y'all got to find out about it. He's the man. So we're going to be talking to him at the beginning of the next segment, and we're going to find out. He's got something that's really cool. Now, you've heard of competition barbecue.
Right.
You've heard of competition, there's fried
chili
chicken competition,
cook-off,
chili
everything.
Cook-offs, but Y'all Magazine has started a whole new thing that is catching on around the South.
Really?
Iced tea. Not just icy, sweetened iced tea. Now, if you want to get in a fight, go into any diner in the South and say, y'all iced tea suck. You know?
That could be a quick eviction, I'm thinking.
It could be. But as many people that love barbecue, if they're true Southern, love their sweet tea.
This is true. But see, now,
all right, be careful.
No, I know.
He's standing right there.
I understand that. You are an unsweet fan.
Absolutely.
And I, depending on if I'm in the mood for it, a good glass of sweet tea is like, it's almost like a two-week-old Bud Light. There's your comparison.
Ooh.
That's, see?
Ooh, no,
see?
No.
The Papa Peppers almost cringed and had cardiac arrest. Sorry about that. It would be like a good, I don't know, Mike, for you, a good old Milwaukee. But anyway. I can say that because he has no microphone.
Now, let me say something about that. The Papa Peppers and I had a bet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And he is going to have to drink.
Who'd say they might beat them Saints?
He's going to have to drink a Bud Light on the air.
Hey, Nick. No.
No, I didn't. I'm going to give you a couple of weeks.
Let it linger and, you know, let that taste hang in your mouth longer than the Bud Light would. And you have to swallow. You can't spit it out.
That's
it's
right.
It's not like we're testing Jack Daniels up in Lynchburg.
Yes.
You can't taste and spit.
Can I close my eyes?
You can close your eyes, but you can hold your nose when you're chugging it.
So there we have it.
So a good ice. And you know what? Sometimes they take the iced tea and it's like, here you go. And you're like, whoa, what hose line did that come out of? As opposed to really taking the science
to tea. We're going to find out all the ins and outs of great sweet tea and what it takes to win in the competition. We're going to talk to Keith Sisson, the associate publisher of Y'all Magazine. And I'll tell you, what a great publication. I had a chance to see it online, and I never knew I was going to get to meet Keith right here at the very next week. His magazine is great. What they're doing to really highlight things in the South is awesome. And this is a magazine you're going to want to have as a regular part of your literature in the throne room.
I wouldn't even put it in the throne room. I mean, just for instance, on this particular cover, which, by the way, you and I got dissed because it's a cover of Tim McGraw.
What?
You know, and I was talking to him while you were over there talking to the guys over at Team Barbecue, and I'm like, you know, we've already found a problem with your magazine. And he said, well, what's that? And I said, the cover's not big enough for Kevin and I both to fit on. And he goes, well, we have some really amazing lenses. I'm like, you're not a miracle worker, sir, please.
But I mean, isn't it great?
It's very cool. I mean, yeah, there's a thing in here with Charlie Pride. And I mean,
whoa.
Yeah, look who did the interview.
Yeah,
go figure. Exactly. But, you know, then all of a sudden there's some, you know, there's some really cool Southern voice with Tim McGraw. And then there's the wonderful Bill Anderson is in here. He's a legend. You know, And the one thing I'm not seeing a whole bunch of, which is kind of nice, is a whole bunch of advertising. I like that. Because you know what? Any magazine I get, first thing I do is I flip it over and I shake it. And there goes one. That's it. But I mean, you know, it's a now, look.
Waffle House.
You're so Southern if, due to your local patronage, the local Waffle House sends flowers to your wife's funeral. That's when you know you're a true Southerner.
That's it. But this is a great magazine. We'll be talking to Keith right after the break. But Chef Fred, we have got some incredible recipes with all this barbecue going on. Tell us what you're going to be cooking up.
Well, we're going with a couple standards and then a couple of not-so-standards.
Okay.
One, we're going to start off with a good old cornbread.
Nice.
But instead of just using, like, corn or anything like that, we're going to use cream corn, something I really, really love. Another thing we're going to do is shrimp and grits, and kind
of a
thick gravy type thing with some big, beautiful shrimp. Then we're going to do kind of a dump cake, again, like we've done before, but I'm going to add some strawberries and a pecan frosting to the cake.
Well, you know why strawberries are important, because today is officially California Strawberry Day.
Really?
And also National French Bread Day.
Well, we're not real keen on the French,
yeah,
but they do make good French bread and French fries and French toast.
Yes.
And then probably one of the things that's a little different is going to be some seared scallops with a pineapple jalapeno red onion salsa. So we got a hot, cool thing going on with that.
Sounds good, Chef Fred. As always, when we come back, we are going to be talking to the man who has brought y'all to a whole nother meeting, y'all. He is Keith Sisson. He is the associate publisher of Y'all Magazine. We're going to find out about this sweet tea thing that's going on. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about barbecue. From the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off, brought to you by Early Times. Welcome back, my friends. Chef of the Fat Man live from beautiful Laurel Park, where the rain gods are threatening, but they've been told to stand back and let the contest finish. And there's nothing that goes together with bass fishing like barbecue and, of course, Early Times.
What Early Times? We're up early.
That's right. No. But Early Times, man, they're the one helping us sponsor this thing and put it all on. We're going to have the lady that put this whole shooting match on in just a few minutes. I mean, we're just getting all the celebrities and the celebrities.
This is true. And you know what? You know when an event is well-organized and well-orchestrated? Because you're the person in charge you don't see running around going, oh, my God. She's just, like, smiling. Hey, how you doing? Kissing baby, shaking hands, you know.
You know.
Chilling.
So we got 43 barbecuers out here. We got all these, you know, bass fishermen out here. So what? It's no big deal.
Hey,
and
in
Gainesville and at Laurel Park, we got it going on, baby. Well, we're going to be talking with her in a few minutes. But first, as we teased you shamelessly in the first segment, Keith Sisson has joined us. He is the associate publisher of a wonderful magazine. If you haven't seen it, you have to get a copy of it. Y'all Magazine. Keith, welcome to Chef and a Fat Man, baby.
I tell you, I'm so glad to be here on this radio show. What a great concept. Food show. Great.
Cooking on radio. Who would have thunk it?
Love it.
Well, you know, it's really not much different than you took a very, very common phrase and now have turned it into a wonderful publication. It really highlights the essence of the South without burying us in shameless marketing and promotion. This is just really good, fun, entertaining things that are happening and going on in the South.
We like our concept. The concept of Y'all Magazine is all about people of the South, and we're mainly celebrity driven, but there's also a lot of Southern culture in there as well. A lot
it
of
really
music
is.
And entertainers, actors, actresses, writers. We have a lot of columnists that are best-selling authors that are with us on every issue. So it's a lot of fun to do. And you know, one of the things that we've come across on this that you know paired well was sweet tea. And sweet tea is a very Southern thing. And we started going to some of these barbecue festivals. And like you were talking earlier in that first segment, you go to these barbecue festivals and you see all of these nice big booths set up and all these people with these big rigs that come in and cook all this championship barbecue. Well, if you don't have one of those big rigs and if you don't know somebody who does, a lot of times you're a little locked out of that. Well, with a sweet tea challenge, we can pair up with these barbecue festivals and we allow everybody a chance to participate. So right over here, we have the Taster's Choice category where the businesses from this area have brought out 10 gallons of tea each. And we have these in big thermoses and people can go in and grab a glass and go and sample all of the teas and vote for their favorite ones. And then here we have an individual competition with the individuals out there bringing their tea from the communities to see who is the best.
And you had a bunch of teas over there.
I had a bunch of teas. I tell you, we've been doing this competition for about 3 years now and done it all across the South. It started in Starkville, Mississippi, and the first time we did it, we had about 50 different individuals bring out their teas to be tasted. And it was amazing because it was the first one we did. We didn't really know what to expect, but when we started sampling and started judging all of these teas, while each of them were sweet tea, they all were different, and it was very surprising. So here today we have about 25 entries in this competition, and I guarantee you, just by looking at them, they're all going to taste different. They're all different shades and colors. Coming up next, at the end of this month, we have an event down in Hammond, Louisiana. It'll be our fifth event in Hammond, Louisiana, and they have a special category down there in the Sweet Tea Challenge called for Best Flavored Sweet Tea. A lot of people down there, of course, there's strawberries and Ponchatoula and Satsumas, a lot of citruses in South Louisiana. A lot of people down there grew up putting all kinds of fruit in their teas, so we have a flavored tea category down there, and it's just a lot of fun. We do this all over the place.
We're talking to Keith Sisson. He is the associate publisher of Y'all Magazine. Now, how can people get a hold of Y'all Magazine?
You can simply go to any major bookseller, Barnes & Noble, Borders Books A Million. They're going to have it. We're in some grocery stores, some Walmarts, but definitely in all of the major booksellers all across the country. Go to y'all.com, and you can subscribe there, and we'll send one to your mailbox.
Well, that's awesome, because this is the kind of thing, because not only, I mean, you could be a small town as Dalton, Georgia, and make your magazine.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Dalton, Georgia had the Liberty Tree Festival last October, and we did a sweet tea challenge there, and that was actually Sweet Liberty, because it was the Liberty Tree Festival.
Very nice.
Liberty.
And
very
it was,
clever.
Yes, yeah, give me liberty or give me death. Or give me liberty. The Liberty Tree Festival there is an interesting concept. They took the 13 saplings from the original Liberty Tree and sent them to different cities of the original 13 colonies, and Dalton received one for the state of Georgia. And each year they have a festival with the Liberty Tree theme. And a lot of colonial Revolutionary War theme there, fife and drummer, and we had the Sweet Tea Challenge. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, here this week in Gainesville for this Sweet Tea Challenge. It's the third or fourth year we've done it here in Gainesville, but we've done these in Florence, Alabama, Starkville, Mississippi, Oxford, Mississippi, Hammond, Louisiana. We're coming soon to Jonesboro, Georgia, to South Atlanta. So it's a lot of fun. We've done these all over.
Well, Keith, this is a fabulous publication. And now you have brought some tea here. And now there's only three here. And why is there only three when I saw a whole bunch at your booth?
We have different categories. And I brought you, because I heard you say that you were not a fan of sweet tea. So I brought you the category for our unsweet competition, which we have called the Most Tolerable Yankee Tea.
Most tolerable Yankee tea.
Because there's no such thing as a good unsweet tea. It's just what is most tolerable.
This is
a competition for the most tolerable unsweet tea. So I have samplings here of these three for both of you, and I'm going to let you judge on the air before we take it back over for our judges.
All right, so the first one we're trying is what?
This is our number four sampling. It's totally random. I can't tell you whose it is or what it is, but the way you judge this is you get to judge it on a scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being your best score. You can only give out 100 one time, but you can give out 99 as much as you want. You have to judge it between a scale of 1 to 100. This category is best unsweet tea, most tolerable Yankee tea. So now, I'm going to get your scores now.
Can we talk about
absolutely,
the tea?
Absolutely. Let's set this up for the listeners now. This has kind of an orangish hue to it, kind of an orange tint.
Almost looks like a cider.
Yeah.
Very, very similar to maybe a grapefruit juice and color to that. But this is an unsweet tea in our unsweet category. What do you think?
Now, I kind of like the fruitiness.
A little bit too much lemon. And this, to me, and I know tea is what it is, but it doesn't have much body and depth to it. I find it to be shallow and kind of on the weak side as far as texture. There's not, you know, some teas you get in your mouth automatically, those tannins hit that are in the tea leaves and such, you get that kind of chalky type.
Yes.
This kind of gives me some of that, but not tons.
I noticed the harshness of it. I mean, the citrus, it just absolutely coats your teeth like sandpaper.
Yeah, and you pick the smell up right away. As soon as you get it close to your nose, it comes up.
It's a little fruity, almost sweet, so I would say, I would give it a
scale of 1 to 100.
I give it 50.
I was going to say 48.
All right. There we go. 48 right. And 50. Now grab the next one.
Right.
Line.
Here we go. This is number three.
We're working backwards.
Oh, nice. Nice bouquet. Has nice legs on it. See that? The legs hardly hang on the side of the glass.
This has a honey undertone to it.
A lot of times we have found that in the sweet tea competition, and this is something that we didn't know going in. Growing up in the South, sweet tea has usually been sweetened by pure cane sugar. But since we've done this competition, we've seen people sweeten their tea with honey. We've seen people sweeten their tea with beet sugar. We've seen people sweeten their tea with brown sugar. So it's very interesting to see all the different kinds of backgrounds and the way people bring this in. So this is, like I would say, still the most tolerable Yankee tea, but you could taste a little hint of honey in there.
See, and if it's going to be unsweet tea, I'm sorry, I'm a purist. If it's going to be unsweet tea, it's got to be unsweet.
See, now, I like unsweet green tea, but I'm not...
This isn't nearly as citrusy.
This one I'd go about a 60 on.
Got a fruitiness on the back. Got a little sweetness to it, like you said, the honey. But this is unsweet tea, so I have to give it a 20 because it's way out of line.
All right, okay. John, now grab the final one as we work backwards. We're now at number two. We started with number two in this competition, but we're now at number two. This is our final sampling here. Now, this, again, most tolerable Yankee tea or best unsweet tea.
Oh, my God.
So, now, what do you think?
That's straight tea, baby. That's straight un-tea.
Straight unsweet tea.
It's my 100.
Not a fan. Very bold. No, but for what it is, extremely...
Is it tolerable? Is it the most tolerable Yankee tea?
Two. I'm sorry.
So I give it 100.
There you go.
You know why?
Right.
Because, like I said, I'm a purist, and
that's what you wanted.
It was the only unsweet tea. It had a nice pecan flavor to it. It had a nice little bite. In other words, just a little stiff on the end. And it's totally, completely unsweet and unfoofified.
Well, one of the things that we've done in the Sweet Tea Challenge that I think you'll enjoy is we've added different categories to different events that we've been to. We started a competition, a separate category that everybody participates in. If you enter any one of our categories, you're automatically entered in an overall category called Most Unique Tea. And as the judges go and start sampling from one tea to the next, they've changed their vote for what they think the most unique tea is. So, for example, when you drink your first tea, automatically that is your most unique tea because it's the only basis of comparison you have. And you can change that vote at any time along the way, and whichever one you voted last, that ends up being your most unique tea. Now, we tell the judges, unique does not necessarily mean good. All right, unique just simply means that. So a lot of times in our competitions, most unique tea, sometimes it's not all that good. But, you know, we do these competitions everywhere, and these people, when they win that category, they get the award. They're very happy about it, excited. Hey, some of these competitions, we have big-name sponsors, like Amtrak, for example, is one of our big sponsors in a lot of our Sweet Tea Challenges. We put people on the train in Hammond, Louisiana, first-class tickets to Chicago for winning a Sweet Tea Challenge.
Wow.
That's a pretty good deal.
Absolutely, and taking the train to Chicago is a beautiful thing, baby. Speaking about Chicago, Chef and the Fat Man, we can now officially announce it. We have been invited to go to Taste of Chicago, and we are going to be on the celebrity cooking stage, the Dominic's cooking stage. We will be there either the 29th or 30th of June, right in the middle of Taste of Chicago, the biggest Taste of event.
Grant Park is wonderful that time of year.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. I'm telling you, my friends, can't thank you enough, Keith. This has been awesome. The name of the magazine, Y'all Magazine. You can pick it up wherever great magazines are sold.
Thank you very much. And Fred, I'm going to bring you a sweet tea back over here.
I appreciate it.
When we come back, Chef Fred's going to start his first recipe, and we're going to talk to Deborah Talley. She is a National Marketing Director for American Bass Anglers and Bassmasters. We know Bassmasters, Chef Fred.
Oh, yeah.
We're at the Bassmaster Classic 2 years in a row. Actually had a show with Paul Prudhomme from the Bassmasters. So we know all about food. We all know about fun. We all know about great bass fishing. And it's happening today. Here at beautiful Laurel Park, we're going to talk to the beautiful Deborah Talley. More food, fun, and celebrating good life. Chef and the Fat Man, taking it to the streets of Gainesville, baby. Welcome back, my friends. Is it early time for you? Well, if it isn't, it should be, because early times is making it all happen right here in beautiful Laurel Park. It's never too early for early time, Chef Red.
It's never too early for early times, especially on a cold, crisp morning by Laurel Park.
Yes, I wish I had a little early times right here, right now, but we don't have it, but that's okay, because I'll tell you, it's fabulous. It is the incredible American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour. It's kicking off right here in beautiful Laurel Park. Speaking of beautiful, we got the beautiful Deborah Talley here. No wonder she's a National Marketing Director. All the brains and all the looks.
There you go.
Well, before we get together with her, we got to get something cooked, because after all, we are a cooking show.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. And you're cooking something. You're starting something that's really, really, really classic and traditional. It's as Southern as sweet tea.
It's right up there in the top two or three of Southernisms.
And I would Southernisms?
Have Southernisms.
Oh, that's nice.
Waffle House, sweet tea.
And bass.
Okay, the top five.
There you go.
So anyway, cornbread.
Yes.
Goes great with barbecue. And there's a bazillion of them out there. Well, this one happens to use one of my favorite things in the world, cream corn.
Oh, nice.
This is wonderful. Love it for all sorts of stuff. So we're going to start that. We've got some buttermilk, which is another true Southern thing. I know the Yankees aren't real big fans of...
Now, wait a minute. My dad used to... I think it was a generational thing, because I know... I used to refer to my dad as a geezer, with great respect. Geezers loved buttermilk.
My grandmother used to have a glass a day.
I know.
I don't know how many... blessed times, she'd be like, here, try this. This one's really good. And I would taste it, and it was the nastiest taste.
Was that Mama Genovese drinking buttermilk?
How's Mama Genovese eating? Yeah.
Boy, that's a real Italian thing.
Well,
hey, Mama Genovese, can we have a little pasta, a little buttermilk, please?
Well, no. And then before dinner, she'd have the red wine, and then she'd have the buttermilk before she went to bed.
To cut it,
exactly. So a little buttermilk and the cream corns in there.
Nice.
Couple of eggs. Let's add some sugar to this, because not a lot. I'm not a big sweet cornbread fan, are you?
Really,
I hope that was sugar, not salt. Okay, well.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
I just dumped it. I'm like, I hope my producer measured all this stuff out for me. Yeah, I got that already. Thanks. Oh, she sits there and tells me all this stuff. Well, okay, settle down.
As the
y'all
producer
have a long
explains
walk
to the chef,
y'all are gonna have a
recipe.
Long walk home.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, we will have no familial arguments here.
A little bit of kosher salt, baking soda, and baking powder. You can't use all of one for the particular reason that it would create a metal taste because of the chemicals and such. So we're gonna incorporate all that in there. The last thing that needs to go in there is a little bit of coarse cracked black pepper.
One of the great things, Chef Fred, while we were here at this incredible festival in Laurel Park, and let me tell you something, Laurel Park really set this place up beautifully.
It is very nice.
They had a beautiful area up there all laid out and everything, and then it got all muddy. But let me tell you something. Do you think that Deborah Talley was fazed at all by that?
Not a bit. No.
She just moved it down to the big parking lot, made it easier for us. I know that's why she did it.
Yeah, exactly. Just for us. There aren't 45 people here worried about a barbecue thing or... You know, any anglers maybe want to get out on the lake. Nah, that wouldn't have anything to do with it. But just for us.
Well, one thing is for certain, my friends. If you ever come down to any one of these festivals and you see us here, there's a chance you can get the very famous and most popular Chef and a Fat Man Red, White, and Blue Collar Cooking Book. 70% of the recipes are egg-friendly. And you can get the Zesty Love Rub. And the Zesty Love Rub is... Between the cookbook and the rub are the two most dangerous products in the culinary world.
This is true.
Because once you try a little bit of the Zesty Love Rub, you'll find out that it has half the salt, but 10 times the flavor, and you can use it on anything. You can use it as a substitute for salt and pepper. It gives 10 times more flavor, 10 times more taste. It rubs on any meat, any kind, any seafood, any chicken, any beef or pork. You can blacken it. And it's great on buttered popcorn. It is wonderful on eggs. Soup,
phenomenal.
Stew, sandwiches.
Let me tell you the latest thing I had it on.
All right.
I was playing around the other night. Do what?
I see you putting it in your cornbread.
Put a little in the cornbread.
Yeah.
I made fried ice cream the other night.
Fried ice cream. Ooh,
with
nice.
Kellogg's cornflakes. Well, Kellogg's cornflakes are kind of... So, she's got the zapper to the world.
Yes.
So, I added a little bit to the crust of the ice cream and then fried it. Let me tell you, that cinnamon in there popped out. Very nice.
Don't tell all the ingredients.
No, just that one. I mean, that's quite evident.
All right, now you got the cornbread finishing up.
This is true cornbread. It's done made with cornmeal. So we'll let that sit for a minute, and just for a few minutes. Let it rise. Egg's going to be at 425.
Okay.
We're going to do this in a cast iron skillet.
Oh, nice.
Trick I found out. When you pour batter into a hot pan, you automatically dispense the grease out to the side so it sticks on the bottom. So if you carefully ladle the first few scoops in, it has a chance to not push down so quickly, crust up, and then pour the rest of the batter in. That way you can release it very easily when you turn that cast iron over.
You're full of it, Chef Fred.
I know, and information too.
Yes.
But be very careful when you get that cast. Wait till I sign your book, man. Just wait. To the second fullest person I know. That cast iron's going to get extremely hot, and you want it that way because you want that crust to go around. If you're going to have to do this in a regular oven, put it in there at about 500 degrees, because promise your oven is not calibrated to 425.
Right.
Then lower it down to 425. It can sit in there for half an hour. Doesn't matter. You're not going to hurt a cast iron.
Right.
Pull it out, ladle in the first few ladles to get a nice crust on the bottom and build off of that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to get the cast iron on the egg, and we're going to go from there.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, Chef Fred, we are the only live radio cooking show in the world which takes you and yours on that weekly culinary adventure down the road to excellence. We are true Theater of the Mind radio. How do we mean Theater of the Mind? Because while we're talking, you can hear the mixing. Deborah moves away because she doesn't want the batter all over. But you can hear the mixing, you can hear the chopping, you can even hear the blood-curdling screams of Chef Fred as he cuts off a digit while he's sharpening his knife. It's all about food, fun, and celebrating the good life. And we are celebrating today at beautiful Laurel Park for the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour. And who should we have standing right next to us, giving off all of her loveliness? It is Deborah Talley, National Marketing Director for American Bass Anglers and Bassmasters. Deborah, welcome. Congratulations. What an awesome... I mean, you commanded the weather to change. It happened. That's a lot of pull.
Well, we hope it'll stay that way. It's been a challenging week, but we've had wonderful, wonderful folks to work with. Not only the competition cook teams that are here, but the Hall County, all the folks that are here have absolutely gone out of their way to make everything spectacular. And they had done so before we even got here.
Isn't that nice? They've been
working and working for months to make the park, everything that we needed for our teams, the electricity, the power, the water. And when we arrived by Wednesday, that had 3 inches of rain. That's about 2 or 3 feet deep of mud up there. So next best thing was to move into this humongous parking lot that they have for our boaters and our anglers that come in. And we have made this work, and everybody has just been a dream to work with. Everybody.
Well, let's talk a little bit. Fred used to join me, but we used to do a hunting, fishing, and outdoor show, and we actually did the first ever live weigh-in of the Bassmasters Classics. We did it twice on radio. It was phenomenal.
Cool.
We picked up all kinds of... So we're big fans of bass angling. And in the South, how can you not be a fan of bass
angling? That's exactly right.
Now, tell us a little bit about the American Bass Anglers Association and the wonderful folks at Early Times that have really, really... It's a great partnership. Great Kentucky whiskey, great bass anglers, the best of the best, and great barbecue.
Absolutely. We came up with the idea to do the tour, the barbecue tour, in conjunction with the Bassmaster Weekend Series events because of the fact that neither of these are particularly spectator events, but putting them both together, it became a big event that people could come out, become more aware of not only bass fishing, but of what competition cooking is all about. And it has really been a great mix. We started the tour in 2009, a five-city tour. And so this is our first stop on our 2010 tour.
Right.
And for the first 2 years, we're doing it strictly in the Southeast. And the next year, we will be a whole entire tour in the Southwest. But the thing that happens is, during the day, while the competition cook teams are getting their food prepared and judged, the anglers are out fishing, and then this afternoon at 3, we start everything on stage. So it's really cool for spectators to come out and see what they've walked around and been witnessing the guys and the gals cooking, and to get to see the end product after that. And because of that, not only, like I say, are we bringing more people to the bass fishing world, but a lot more people to tournament and to competition cooking. I mean, it's just been a great...
It's a brilliant idea. It really is.
It's been wonderful for us.
And, of course, the Bassmasters organization is nothing but first class. I mean, we had a chance to work with y'all a couple of times. We did the Bassmasters Classic in New Orleans a number of years ago. Then we did it in Birmingham, and then they asked us back in New Orleans again. And I actually got to do a media ride with Kevin Van Dam.
Yeah, cool.
And, well, it was cool, except there was a hurricane out in the Gulf, and they had to go out into the ocean and get over to the river 70 miles an hour in 12-foot waves.
Wow.
Where it was so vicious, it ripped the electronics off, shattered the glass. But these guys are amazing. They are amazingly fit. But the great thing about Bassmasters and the ABA and the whole family is you all are very, very cognizant of the protection of the species, the keeping the species safe, the propagation of the species, and great respect for the water, the outdoors. And that's something that people don't realize, how much Bassmasters is so into that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of folks, they just aren't educated about the fact that they sometimes think we catch all the fish and we cook them up or we kill them or something.
No way.
But we have a 99% mortality rate. We totally take care of the fish. Not only do we just put them back, but we take care of them before they're put back. We use different products to keep their oil on their skin, their oil on their gills, so that they're... very they're in good shape when we put them back in the water. So we're really helping the environment because that, and conservation is our number one thing. The other thing too is people don't realize the amount of money that is spent on conservation comes from the sale of fishing license
That's
and hunting
right.
license as well. And so we are the probably the very best steward of the species.
And I learned that a number of years ago and was so honored to be affiliated with Bassmasters for those 3 years. And we were proud and very proud to bring out the name. And that's why even in the cooking world, we were glad to be here and support the ABA and Bassmasters. They do a wonderful job. They do a tremendous business. And Deborah Talley, National Marketing Director of American Bass Anglers and Bassmasters, congratulations. This is an outstanding event. Early Times, we thank you. You're one of the great historical whiskeys of all time, and it is absolutely phenomenal. Thank you so much for having us here.
Thank you so much.
We're looking forward to it. We look forward to coming back and maybe follow you around a little bit more this year.
We would love for you to be on the tour.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
More food, more fun, more celebration of good life. We are at the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour. Early Times, no time like the present. The barbecue and fish, baby. The wind continues to blow. The excitement continues to grow. What can we be speaking about? None other than the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour. Opening salvo live in Laurel Park in beautiful Gainesville. Well, Gainesville, there's parts of Gainesville that are pretty. I mean, I drove up here yesterday afternoon to hang with Team BBQ because hanging with Team BBQ the day before is the way to go. Because you get to talk barbecue, you get to... You know, Sam and Diane came by, and all the great barbecuers come by to pay homage to Team BBQ. And they all have fun. Everybody has fun. Everybody gets together until midnight.
Yeah.
Then they go back to their respective corners, and it's like, ding, 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 ding. And then it's all work. And no one knows more about the work than the man behind Team BBQ. It is our good friend. He also sometimes, when he's not doing this, he also absolutely... really dominates in the egg retail world as he is the overseer of the retail center at the beautiful Big Green Egg corporate headquarters. Of course, we're talking about Bobby C. See, you don't have to say his last name when you've reached his status. You just call him Bobby C.
Yeah.
You know, like
it.
Jazzy D or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I know you don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, Bobby, congratulations, man. Opening salvo. This is it.
Yeah. We'll see. Congratulations aren't ordered just yet.
Yeah, well, you know what? Give everybody a little idea of how this started. Now, last night when I left, it was about 9:30, 10 o'clock. You were already formulating. But when did you start the fires? And tell everybody what you're going through.
We started the fires about 10 o'clock, actually. So right after you left. I guess we were waiting for you to clear out, then we can get to work.
Well, I don't think you need to put it quite that way, but continue.
But yes, we fired them up last night. This contest was like a half hour earlier than regular, so that kind of had us screwed up all weekend. But so we put the meat on at 11:30.
Wow! And what was that? The butts?
Butts and brisket. Yep. Put those on and then let them cook overnight. And got up real early this morning and got them wrapped.
Well, I know you emailed me. You texted me at about. Of course, usually I'm the one that's out there roughing it.
Yeah, the Holiday Inn, while Bobby's, you know, in a chair right by the eggs.
He's sleeping on the floor
of the trailer.
The floor of the trailer, and he's got his DigiCube going. Or no, you got the latest, greatest. What is it?
Yeah, the CyberCube.
Tell us a little bit about that CyberCube. That's an amazing apparatus.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. It'll run two eggs at once or two any other kind of pits, I guess. And it's got software, so you can hook up your computer, and you control it from your computer inside.
This was amazing. For all you techno geeks, you can get into the barbecue world because with this new CyberCube, literally he had the laptop inside his trailer, and when you go in there, it's got a color graph of each egg and the cooking temperatures and how close it is to optimum and when it's dipped and when it's gone up. And then on the side, it's got all these graphs with all the different probes, and he's got each different probe set at what temperature. And by God, if it deviates one bit, the alarm goes off. I could see me sitting there at Casa Jenkins in the Lazy Boy Super Deluxe recliner with the vibrating chair.
New sponsor? Just wondering.
And with my laptop on my cushy pillow laptop on your lap thing.
Belly?
And then an ice cold Bud Light watching my little graph going up and down telling me when it's
time to go out and do something with my egg. That's just a beautiful thing.
You definitely need a life.
Well, speaking of life, okay, now you fire up the pits at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
What time do you put the meats on?
We put them on at
11:30.
11:30, yeah.
Okay, you put the meats on at 11:30. Now, you don't. It's not like you can fall asleep and get a good night's sleep.
No, I mean, it's usually 6 hours from the moment you put the food on until the moment you got to wake up. So it's never more than about 4.5-5 hours at the absolute most.
And with that great cyber, you know, Shotgun Fred, just keep, every time you turn around, Shotgun's taking it to a whole nother level. I remember the very first barbecue guru, I still got it.
Yep.
And now to see the cyber queue in just a few years, I mean, he's really on the edge. But that makes barbecuing, because this is important. I mean, time, temperature, everything. So you get up around 6,
yeah,
and you start, and you're really working. You're creating sauces. You're.
Yep. I mean, everything's on a strict timeline. So you've got, shortly after you wrap the big meats, the ribs go on, you're tending to those, and then you've got to start getting sauces on, and then you've got to put the chicken on and tend it constantly while you're tending to the ribs, and then you're checking the big meats and pulling those off and getting those ready to go in the cooler. And
from 6 o'clock in the morning till really your last turn-in.
So about 5 minutes ago, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't see you. I mean, you're really focused, and you've got an entourage of people that love to run with you, and they all know when it's time. You just stand back and let you guys do your thing, because time is everything. In fact, I understand Tom was within 21 seconds. That's,
yeah,
shaving it.
Got to put him to the test, first of the season.
Now, 21 seconds, that's no kidding. That's no joke. If it had been 22 seconds, you guys would have been disqualified from that.
Correct.
So it's, yeah. Now, I know you were a little concerned, but I got to tell you, Fred and I, of course, we're pretty savvy now. You know, we've had Myron's queue. We've had some Sam and I got to tell you, dude, Fred and I were talking. That rocked the house. All 4K. It's going to be interesting to see what happens today. But it's still.
Yeah, always is.
Yeah, because it's very subjective. Even though the KCBS officials, the judges, are all sanctioned judges, they've all gone to schools, there's still a subjectivity to it that you can't.
Yeah, it's hard to. You got to find what they like and stick with it and hope you get the same judges over and over again, which you never do. So it's always kind of a crapshoot when you're.
And of course, I think Barbecue Grill Masters, has helped elevate it even more. But the barbecue competition tour has really gotten, I mean, just today you've got, what, 45 teams, 43 teams, some here?
Yeah, there were 34 pro teams, and I think 14 or 15 backyard teams. So it's pretty big. Got a lot of people out here, a lot of teams.
And, of course, what a great combination, hooking up with the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour. This is pretty neat.
Yeah. And we got to really get up to Hall County, because they prepared a beautiful spot for us. They had watered every single site, electricity every single site. They spent $75,000 getting it ready, and then the rain came and it just washed it all away. So we ended up in a parking lot right next to it. But
Deborah Kelly, she was right on it, the National Marketing Director. This is the National Marketing Director for American Bass Anglers and Bassmasters. She was here. Let me tell you, she was right on it, dude.
Yeah, she's
awesome.
She
had you guys down here in this asphalt parking lot, which really saved the day. Much drier, much nicer, much easier. Even though you have those military-style wheels on your eggs, you would have been a hard time in that mud.
Oh, yeah. It's like it would have been miserable up there. But, yeah, Deborah did an awesome job. I mean, the whole thing started last year, and everybody was a little skeptical, and they weren't sure if they were going to go to it or not. And it just kind of grew and grew and grew. Last year got a little momentum, and then this year they're kicking off with a bang. They're doing 5 other events after this one. So,
well, one thing is for certain. If you're at a professional barbecue tournament of any substance, look for Team BBQ, because we will be following Tales from the Trail with Team BBQ all season long. We'll have the highs, the lows, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of highs and very few lows. You know, we were going to try to meet you in Washington, but we got kind of bumped.
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah, we're going to do Taste of Chicago.
Oh, that's all right.
It happens the same time as the Washington trip, so we're going to have to miss the Washington trip, but we're looking forward to following you around the circuit. And Chef Fred, I know you're excited about this year's barbecuing circuit.
Oh, I'm very excited. But let me ask a question. The first one you guys have done, and this is what, they were what, 5 or 6 into it already? This is the first one y'all have done, right?
First contest of the season, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What? Any idea what the judges might be looking for? Any indication, like, at the cooks' meetings or anything?
No, we don't get lucky like that. They just, you got to figure it out. I mean, it's, we're hoping it's the same taste buds they had last year, because we finished pretty strong. So, but they might all changed over the winter.
And then you have to change along with it.
Yeah, but it usually takes at least one or two before you know what to change to. So that's.
Well, I mean, you know, and you're going to do how many this year again? Are you planning?
16, 17, something like that.
So I'm thinking, okay, let's say 17. He's going to have almost like what the Saints had, a 15-2 record. You know, it's a lot of hardware. We're going to, you know what? Ed Fisher's going to expand the showroom of the Big Green
Eggs. Expand.
Expansion going on just to put all that hardware on there and what he comes up with.
His display case is getting so small.
Yeah.
They're building another shelf.
There's a whole big warehouse in the back.
You know, it's funny because Big Green Egg is building another shelf, and he's losing a shelf.
He is losing a shelf.
I tell you, man, these guys on this team, I think if we had all the poundage that they've lost this year, I mean, we could make another you and me.
I don't know if it's that much.
Yeah, well.
It's a lot of poundage.
But anyway, Bobby, thank you so much for letting us be a part of your team, and we're looking forward to Tales from the Trail all season long. We'll be doing a lot of shows from the Egg. We will keep in touch. In fact, we're going to have to create something on the website to kind of keep up with. We'll talk to our web people and see if we can arrange to put a link on there or something to where we can have all the standings of Team Barbecue, where they're going to be. So if you want to find out and you want to get on the inside, go up and say, I followed you on the website. Maybe, though, there's a little brisket left and we haven't eaten it all. You might get a taste. Because once you've tried Competition Barbecue, babe, it's over.
There is none. And, you know, if you're really interested in it, go to kcbs.com. The results are in there, and they're usually, what, 24 hours? They're up on the website after?
That or less, yeah.
So, you know, kind of like when we get our recipes up on chefsandfatman.com.
Yeah.
Hopefully when our website stays up. But, you know, Bobby, this is like, you know, baseball season's great, which isn't far away, and football season ended spectacular if you're a Saints fan. But I tell you what, this is one season that you look forward to, especially if you're into it, that you can just eat
barbecue
the season away.
Season.
I'm telling you, and Bobby, I got to tell you, from last year's memories to this year's tasting, I did not see anything different in the sense of.
We hope not.
I mean, I really didn't. I mean, the textures were still there, the pull was still there on the ribs and such. You know, I don't like a rib where you bite into and it falls apart like pork tenderloin. If that's the case, get pork tenderloin. But the chicken thighs, oh my God, if there was one thousandth of a centimeter difference in any of those four thighs you put out for us to try.
And rumor has it, he didn't even borrow the idea from Myron Mixon.
Of course not. He's an originator, not an
imitator.
That's
right. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about a celebration of the good life. What better place to celebrate than the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour, first one. We are here. We are live. We are bringing it to you. We've already had Deborah Talley, the National Marketing Director for American Bass Anglers and Bassmasters. We've also had Keith Sisson, the Associate Publisher for Y'all Magazine. We've been absolutely blowing your minds. Chef Fred's already got his cornbread coming out, and when he comes back, he's going to do a classic Southern tradition, shrimp and grits, baby.
There you go.
Food, fun, and celebrating the good life. Is there any better place than with the Big Green Egg, Team Barbecue, bass fishing, barbecuing, early times at Chef of the Fat Man.